This is Jerry Bingham, host of Hush Loudly on WGN Plus.
Many, many introverts are empaths.
Yes, we are.
So you take on the energy of people. And so for introverts, there's an additional level of grief and sadness because you're also absorbing the grief and sadness for other people. This is Reem Asari, and you are listening to Hush Loudly on WGN.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hush Loudly. I have another interesting, fabulous, amazing guest joining me today. She is not an introvert, but she is an introvert ally. She loves us. She supports us. She educates us. And let me just tell you a little bit about her, and then I'm going to jump right into this. Dr. Reem Asari, she started her career as a nurse and now has spent the last decade in academia. She holds a PhD in business psychology with a focus on organizational development. She has taught leadership development and healthcare delivery and has had the pleasure of working with first responders, leaders in management, CEOs, staff, and employees. I'd like to welcome Reem to Hush Loudly. Hey, Reem.
Hi, thank you so much for that beautiful introduction, Dr. Bingham. It just means that I'm old with a 35-year career.
It does not mean you're old. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Thurmont Education, but I want to open this up and explain some of the conversations that we have. Reem and I are friends, and we talk about things on a deep level quite frequently. And recently, I was talking to her about how the worst thing that has ever happened to me was, number one, the death of my father, and number two, the death of my mother 2 years later. And I was surprised at how people showed up for me and how they did not. Now, everyone knows I'm an introvert. People who've known me 20, 30, 40 years, you know how I am, you know who I am. And it was funny how the people that I thought would rally around in a way that I needed did not. And the people that I did not expect to rally around showed up for me in the oddest ways that brought me joy and brought me comfort. You know, everybody grieves differently. Everybody mourns differently. And so it led to this whole conversation about my introversion and how introverts and extroverts grieve differently. This makes sense because we do a lot of things differently. So Dr. Asari, tell us a little bit more about that to help me and my listeners better understand, as well as our partners, our coworkers, everyone who's listening, so that they are equipped with the knowledge of how to support our introverted friends when we are, unfortunately, grieving. Can you share a little bit about what we discussed?
Absolutely. First and foremost, thank you so much for bringing light to this incredibly important topic of, you know, like you said, Jerry, grief is difficult, and navigating grief is very difficult, and it shouldn't be underestimated. You said something that resonated in your introduction, and you said, I was surprised that the people that I thought would rally around me did not. And so I have to jump in, and as you have been educating me on introversion with this wonderful podcast, don't tend to rally around introverts, right? Introverts, by definition, love solitude. And so navigating grief with an introvert is quite challenging. And so I'm so glad that we're discussing something like this. And, you know, there are so many different ways to support people that are grieving, but there's certainly a different way to support the introvert. You know, we created Thurmont Education, as you know, after the death of my son, Adam. And I really needed to look into research. And that's who I am. I'm a researcher. And by definition, I wanted to look at behavioral research. And truly, when you look at the support that you need to give people, it's not the same with extroverts versus introverts. And as I researched, Jerry, I realized I'm somewhat of an ambivert because I'm probably 90% extrovert and 10% introvert because I need to recharge and I need to get myself, you know, a little bit more energy after I'm out there all the time. And sometimes that's difficult for people to understand. Mm-hmm. My husband is an introvert. Mm-hmm. And so when my husband doesn't speak and he wants to sit in solitude, I understand that. That's okay. Somebody like me who stops talking for a while and wants to recharge, people think I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. And they ask if I'm okay. So your question to me was, how do we support our introverts during grief? And we first of all have to look at how they're grieving from the beginning, right? So very, very different. Introverts want solitude. Okay. And you know that this is something that you have worked on. This is something that you have studied. The issue though, Jerry, is when introverts want that solitude after the death or a grief event, they may seem aloof and they may seem like they don't need anybody. So let's start with the funeral. Funerals are overwhelming. Okay. We all know that. And funerals are energy drainers, even to the extrovert. Yeah. Right. I mean, even extroverts are looking for the exits at a funeral home because it's so incredibly overwhelming. So with the introvert needing solitude, needing quiet, sometimes they just don't want to be talked to at that moment. And with the funeral, what is it? A funeral is a bombardment of small talk. And as we know, introverts, they don't like small talk. Introverts like conversations. Correct. Even when you and I spoke about doing this podcast, you said to me, this is a conversation because it's deep and it's meaningful. And extroverts like me, we're okay with sound bites.
Yeah.
And what's a funeral but just a bunch of sound bites, right? And so extroverts, they talk about their grief. They thrive on social contact. Others energize them and they want to air out their feelings and tell you what they need. Where by converse, the introvert, again, they need to process. Because they're quiet doesn't mean that they don't need you, but that may have been what was given, you know, the vibe that was given to some of your friends that you thought perhaps didn't show up. So with an extrovert, you can say, tell me what you need after a death. And they will most likely be able to process and tell you. With an introvert, you can't say, let me know if you need anything. That doesn't work because they won't. With an introvert, you have to tell them. You know, I went to the farmer's market yesterday. I made a delicious casserole. I'm going to drop it off at your house at 12 p.m. I'll ring the doorbell. Just make sure you open the door and get it. So they take on sadness and grief in a very, very different way. And as you know, you and I talked about just the need for quiet and solitude. And again, that may be taken as the need for not needing anybody.
Well, thank you. First of all, Reem is the most amazing cook, pastry chef. So, girl, you can drop off food at my house any damn time. But
the problem is I cook and I eat. You know, those are people that cook. You know those chefs that are cute on TV and they're size 2 and they just cook and they go, ooh, and they give it to other people. That's not me, Jerry.
Yes,
you know that.
Yes,
I cook and I eat.
Yes, it is. But anyway, back to this. I want to say, just in support of what you're saying, yes, our lives are different in how we roll and how we react and respond and process. But I want people to still try something. So there are two people in my life. When my dad died, I was taking care of mom. I was more full time. You know, my parents were very close. You know, they're my only family in Chicago. I was there at their house all the time, you know, so it was really a lot for me. But when he died, I was 24/7 mom. Then when she died, mm-hmm. I have two girlfriends who are extroverts. They text me every morning. They started then, which was so fascinating to me, just good morning. And I knew they were doing that because that was their check-in with me. They were just checking in with me because they knew for the first time in my life I was alone. That is so valuable to me. They're not calling to hang out. Now, we go out. I just saw one last Saturday. I saw one on my birthday. We hang out, but it's funny how they figured it out, and that works for me. Now, I know that what they're saying is, I love you, I'm thinking of you, I'm here mm-hmm. for you. Just that little morning text. And so the funeral and all of that, you said that is just a whole different, I don't know how anybody is supposed to respond to that. But I was talking about not the funeral, not the week, not the 2 weeks after, but I'm talking about when all of that stops and people disappear. Those mm-hmm. little text messages were very meaningful to me, and they still continue. My mom's been gone 5 years. These two girls still text me every morning, and it's just a connection that I appreciate, and I am reading into that, that they are saying, we checking on you. Something else that you said when we talked before that was profound about the way extroverts want to help. So when I said something to you, like,
I remember, what did you say? Emoji. Was it about the heart emoji?
It was something like that. I said, just send me a heart emoji. Just send me something and let me know you're thinking about me, because I'm that chick that does that anyway. I'll just send people a text. Now, I know everybody's not me, but sending a heart emoji or a smiley face or something is simple for you to do. And what did you say to me about extroverts?
Yeah. So, you know, to you, just to send a heart emoji, it's a beautiful thing. An extrovert wants to fix something or get to the core of something or have a response or an answer or an event or something. There needs to be words. And so the extrovert, when they want to send you something, and you and I talked about this, to just send a heart for an extrovert without anything else. Now, bless your friends that are extroverts that did this. Extroverts feel like they need to say something, do something, fix something, right? Go from point A to Z with something in between. So oftentimes just an emoji will not do them justice, and they will feel like they're slighting you because they sent you an emoji, but they didn't send something afterwards to discuss or talk or say. Does that make sense?
Yes, so I love that. It hit me deeply and helped me understand.
And also just, Jerry, what we also tell people is, and this is it's a sad reality, there are people that love Reem before the death of Adam.
Yes.
And then after the death of Adam, you know, I'm happy, but I'm not pre-2021 happy. I'm mm-hmm. just going to say it. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, the level of happiness, and then there is a different kind of happy. And what we tell people is invest in relationships that withstand grief. Mm. Grief is tough, and some people may think that pre-Reem or pre-Jerry are not the people that they want. You know, they want them. They don't want post-Reem and post-Jerry, right? Which maybe are a little bit more self-reflective, a little bit more, you know, boundary setters. You know, your filter, kind of, you have a different kind of filter after a heavy grief or loss. And so people are people. They are who they are. You can't fault or blame them. They still care about you, but it may be in a different way. So your girlfriends, the extroverts, that are there for you every single day, those women have invested in that relationship, and they have withstood your grief. So those are the best kind of friends to have. And perhaps you can educate with this podcast some of the people that have not been there for you, because a lot of it is fear, Jerry. It's fear in handling the introvert. My husband is an introvert. And so to force people to speak or you know, say things or pull things inside them and be verbal, the extrovert is grieving in a very, very different way. And some people can't handle that. And it's unfortunate, but it happens. And that's why we have to educate.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about this. It's so important that we understand how different we are. And mm-hmm. like you said, you'll be talking to your husband, my friend who I love, Bass, and
yes,
you'll say a million things, and then he'll say, well, and then you'll say, you aren't going to respond, you don't have anything to say, and then he says, well, you didn't ask me a question. You know, and that makes sense to me. That's logical. It's kind of like you're talking, mm-hmm. I'm listening. But you expect my listening to be more animated or more verbal. You expect me to respond in a different type of way because you need that stimulation. Whereas I'm listening, but I'm not saying anything until I have something to say. But this mm-hmm. is so important as we talk about this with grief. And it just all mm-hmm. goes back to we're all different and we just need to be inclusive and thoughtful in understanding that we are all wired differently. I'd also Absolutely. Like to thank you so much for that research and for sharing that. I'd also like to talk about the grief recovery method, Thurmont, Adam, anything sure. you want to talk about. Tell sure. us a little bit more. Tell us your story or what you're working on right
sure.
now.
I would love to tell my story, but if I may add, Jerry, that in addition for introverts or empaths, I just want to make sure that we discuss that before I forget. Introverts are many, many introverts are empaths.
Yes, we are.
So you take on the energy of people. And so that's why grief, as you're grieving, these other your other friends that may have stepped up to the plate or not, or even at the funeral or not, you're taking on their energy too. And so that's why there's an additional, for introverts, there's an additional level of grief and sadness because you're also absorbing the grief and sadness for other people. So I just wanted to make sure that non-introverts, your allies, also understand that. So if you seem aloof or that you don't want to speak or that you're over it and you can handle grief on your own, please, extroverts, ambiverts, and introverts, know that that's not the case. Your introvert friends need you. They may just not be, you know, we talk about how much can you take from people, right? Your people capacity is what we talk about. And if your introverted friend does not have, and like my husband, he's not ready. His people capacity is low, maybe at this moment. Don't try to give them a lot. And so perhaps when people tried to give you something or feedback or something and you weren't ready to accept it, they took it differently. They took it as if she doesn't need me. Mm-hmm. She's grieving on her own. She has other friends. She doesn't need me. Mm-hmm. So that's something I think we should be aware of.
And that's also that rejection, something that we've talked about before on this show mm-hmm. is, and mm-hmm. when I've talked about this, like with dating, you know, men will tell me later, oh, I liked you. And I'd be like, oh, well, I liked you too. Like, so, and then he'd say, well, you didn't act like you were interested. Mm-hmm. And I think that my response or lack of animation can be taken as rejection. Yes. And that goes here into play as well, where I'm not responding the way you expect me to, or may need me to, or may want me to. And it's not rejection. It's just how I'm wired differently. That's all that it is. But how would you know that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. That's why communication is key. But thank you for allowing me to talk about Thurmont. So Thurmont Education was, you know, as you know, my son Adam, first of all, thank you for giving me the space to talk about Adam. We're on October 18th. It will be 4 years since he passed. Mm. My son Adam, I think all mothers think their kids are geniuses and the most beautiful children in the world, but my kids are. And Adam was 20 years old, and he was a finance major at University of Illinois in Champaign. He was the head of finance club, head of the investment club, Phi Gamma Nu fraternity, just a really, really bright kid, extremely animated, extremely social, and an athlete. He was the captain of the soccer team at his high school. And he called me October 18th, 2021, and he was going to come home for the weekend. And I was so excited and, you know, what should I cook for you? And I went out that night and I bought, you know, I went to Jewel and I bought some chicken and I was so excited he was going to come home. And then October 19th at 10:43, which, you know, you remember, it's seared into my brain, the Orland Park police came and said to us that Adam had passed away in his sleep. And they said there's nothing untoward. He did nothing wrong. He just didn't wake up. And we later found out that it was a hemangioma, an intracapillary hemangioma. So my son died suddenly. And for somebody like me who's a researcher, I needed control. And when mm-hmm. something as sudden as a child's death or anybody's death happens, you have no control. Yeah. And for me, I needed control. I needed data. I needed facts. My faith helped me tremendously. My belief in God helped me tremendously. My family, my other son helped me with the grieving process. You know, we brought in a new daughter-in-law into the mix, and she's lovely, and that helped tremendously. But I needed a greater deal of control, and I needed to read, and I needed to research. It's who I am. It's in my DNA. So I began researching grief. And, you know, there was all these stereotypes and myths. And what I found out about grief, it was 40 points of grief. That was a historical scale that was been out for decades. And of the 40 points, Jerry, not one of them, and these points contain death of a spouse, divorce, financial problems, moving, not one of those points said death of a child. Hmm. Yeah, and I found that very interesting, and it saddened me. And when I actually spoke to some of the people that studied this, they said, well, because death of a child is so strong and it's not natural, it was never included on the list. Mm. When you think about it, there's no name for us. Anybody that loses a husband or a wife, they're a widow or a widower, right? You lose your parents, you're an orphan, you lose a child, there's no name for us. But they've come out with something. It's a name from Sanskrit. And it's called, and the name is Vilhoma, and they call us Vilhomas, and that just means defies the natural order of things, which makes sense, right? Your child dying before you defies that. So we needed to find purpose to this pain, right? And so with the help of some amazing friends, we were able to open Thurmont Education. And the name Thurmont actually comes from Adam. Adam had a nickname for his brother, and he added on a couple of letters, which made it become the term gateway into the mountain. So Thurmont actually means gateway into the mountain. And Adam, who was a finance major, wanted to eventually have his own firm and call it Thurmont. So unfortunately, God had different plans for us. But in his honor, we carried that name. And so we founded Thurmont Education, which is a wonderful organization. And it's all about education, grief education, leadership development education. And we have some amazing partners. We have nurse practitioners, social workers, therapists, business people. We're putting on mentorship programs. So there's a lot that's being done in his name. So we're very excited to develop Thurmont and to help as many people as we possibly can. Within Thurmont, we also work grief recovery methods. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about that, Jerry. Yeah. So I think drugs and psychotherapy for some people are fine. They weren't for me. I needed data. I needed something that was evidence-based. And the grief recovery method, which some people appreciate, some people question, the grief recovery method was for me. It is evidence-based. There are a couple of research articles out of Kent State University in Ohio, and it shows that it really helps people. And for me, somebody like me, and I would recommend this to introverts because you do homework at your own pace. There are 8-week sessions. They involve charting and graphing and writing letters. There is no therapy. There is no analysis. As a matter of fact, one of the points of the grief recovery method is you don't analyze, you don't judge, you don't analyze, you don't explain. So really, it's a series of homework assignments. And this method was founded in 1977 by a gentleman named John James. His son had died as an infant, and he was a veteran, and nothing helped him. So he actually figured out that writing out these charts and these loss graph charts and these relationship charts, and which will eventually culminate into writing a letter to a root relationship. So I wrote a letter to my mother after all of these exercises that historically this really helped. And so I really appreciated John James's method. It starts and it's over in 8 weeks. And no, you don't recover. You don't get over the loss of anybody, but it helps you recover slowly and unstick some of that grief. They call it boulders on the shoulders. And it's taught in 6 out of 7 continents and in 20 languages.
Wow.
So, you know, it's got to be something. Yeah. And I like doing that. I like writing charts. And for introverts, I think that would be a really great thing because you're not having to speak as much and maybe share some things with people that you don't feel comfortable sharing. Mm-hmm. It's you being given these assignments. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, you have to write them out. And the assignments help. I think for me, it helped me tremendously. It helped me unstick a lot of that grief. And so we teach that at Thurmont Education.
Wow. And writing is therapeutic. And that's one of the things mm-hmm. that introverts seem to prefer writing, by the way. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that, Reem. We are running out of time. I want to know how people can find you or find more about Thurmont Education.
Thank you. We are located at the 2 Transat Plaza Drive in Oak Brook. And
although we don't want people dropping up, you know, introverts don't like people just dropping in. So she gave her address.
But no.
We don't want, even though you're not an introvert in between. But anyway, she's located in Oak Brook. So
you
go
come on over. I'll make you some cookies. We'll bake a cake. We'll talk about Jerry. No, you can go on our website, which is ThurmontEducation.com. ThurmontEducation.com. And our number is 708-620-2525. But we are located in the Trans Am building in Oak Brook, and you can drop by. We may not be there, but you can drop by.
Thank you, Dr. Reem Azhari, for educating us, for filling our heart, filling my heart with joy today. Thank you so much for joining. And I feel like we're a little more equipped, a little better equipped.
You are. Can I say one thing, Jerry, one quick thing? A big piece of advice for introverts and extroverts before you go back to work, or if you want, before you go back to visit your neighbors, write a letter. And that's what I did. So writing a letter and placing it on LinkedIn or an announcement, here's how I'm feeling, here's where I am, here's what happened to my son. It was, you know, because people want to know information, and I'm okay, and here's what happened, and I'll be back at work next Monday. And that way, it keeps you from having to repeat that story over and over and over.
Wow.
So even sending a letter or posting something.
Because that was hard when I went back to work, because everybody kept coming in my office. And some people kind of knew, like, just say, I'm just checking on you. And then some people wondered, well, what happened? How are you? Well, how the hell am I supposed to answer that? So, yes, thank you, Ring, for that.
Exactly. So tell them in a letter and find your tribe.
Yes.
And journal and garden and yoga.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Azhari.
All right. My pleasure.
Education.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoying Hush Loudly? Please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen to us. Did you know Hush Loudly has t-shirts? Yep, show the world you're an introvert without saying a word. We also have t-shirts for the extroverts in our lives who need us. Go to hushloudly.com/shop.